Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Disney Plus begins its existence next Tuesday, and tonight, one of the major new series beginning there gets a special primetime kickoff tonight on ABC, Freeform, and the Disney Channel. That program, High School Musical, the series. Co-star Matt Cornett and Disney Channel director of original series Amanda de Piazza join me next in an internet radio exclusive. What the cartels inside Mexico do, believe it or not, goes way beyond drug dealing. It's a literal whale of a tale, and it's documented tomorrow night on National Geographic special, Sea of Shadows. We'll speak with director Richard Lacani later this hour. Also ahead, Apple TV Plus's first new series, moved since its launch last week, USA sets Dare Me's date, fresh off the boat fades out, and our classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 37 cool degrees here in the New York metro area, and we welcome you this Friday afternoon to the program All About Television. We got a great hour in store for you, wonderful guests from New York, L.A., and all over, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So pick up the phone, raise the voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you're shy about using the phone, that's no problem with us because we got a chat room going for you. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Our guests from High School Musical, the musical, the series, join us live from New York and Burbank, California, after these news notes. 1 week after Apple TV Plus's premiere, The Venture has decided on its first new series pickup. The reward goes to Severance, a workplace drama dealing in thriller terms with work-life balance issues. Adam Scott will star. Ben Stiller, coming off his work on the award-winning Showtime miniseries Escape with Zamora, will serve as director and key executive producer. Endeavor Content, the company overseeing C and the upcoming Truth Be Told for Apple TV Plus, will handle Severance. The finish line has been drawn for Fresh Off the Boat, ABC's popular family sitcom inspired by the family life of Chef Eddie Huang. After 6 seasons and more than 100 episodes, Fresh will conclude with an hour-long presentation February 21st. Fresh became a groundbreaker for its largely Asian-American cast, led by Randall Park and Constance Wu. Can the major new scripted series get on the road to fame the second to last day of this year, 2019? We'll find out when USA gets an answer in Dare Me, the long-awaited high school cheerleading drama set in the Midwest. Megan Abbott adapted their popular novel of the same name for television and serves as co-executive producer and head writer. Dare Me joins USA December 29th at the 10 p.m. Sunday time slot, now occupied by the final season of Mr. Robot, both shows produced by Universal Content Productions. And over at NBC, Primetime will get a big shuffle early January 2020. Coming in, new seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Ellen's Game of Games, Manifest, and the Champions Edition of America's Got Talent. Out for good, The Good Place, January 30th, set off with an hour-long final episode, a retrospective of the Peabody Award-winning series, in a half hour. Also look for 3 series premieres, the long-awaited Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, musically oriented, Indebted, and Lincoln Rhyme, based on the hit movie The Bone Collector. And that is news notes for today. Our first segment deals with 2 things. One is the return of one of the most popular franchises in the history of television. It all started back in 2005 when a former producer of The Merv Griffin Show decided, let's do a musical about kids in high school doing a musical. It was for the Disney Channel. And the result, of course, was the Emmy Award-winning High School Musical. Premiered on January 20th of 2006, 7.7 million viewers saw the premiere, the most for a Disney Channel single program in its history to that point. It made stars of Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens, Ashley Tisdale, Corbin Bleu, Minnie Coleman, among others. And it won 2 Emmy Awards, one for Outstanding Children's Program, and one for the choreography co-done by its director, Kenny Ortega. It also won 4 other nominations for directing, casting, and 2 of its hit original songs, Get Your Hand in the Game and the duet Breaking Free. Well, a year and a half later, it spawned a sequel, and that sequel did even better. 17.3 million viewers. Still one of the most watched made-for-TV movies in the history of cable television. That was in 2007. Then came another show, Senior Year, a year later, and a lot more. And it's been considered one of the great phenomenons in the history of the Disney Channel and cable television. Well, this Friday, tonight, you can see the return of High School Musical for the first time as a television series. And yes, it's called High School Musical, the musical, the series. It will run and kick off prime time tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC, the Disney Channel, and Freeform. And then on Tuesday, it becomes one of the top original new attractions of Disney Plus, coming to most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Join us live in an interview exclusive from New York. The co-star of High School Musical, the musical, the series, he plays EJ. We welcome in Matt Cornett. Matt, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much.
It is a pleasure to have you aboard. And joining both of us from beautiful downtown Burbank, California, that otherwise known as AKA Los Angeles, the Disney Channel director of original series who helped supervise the making of this series, Amanda Siasa. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And Matt, we'll start with you. What's everybody's excitement right now about not only getting on Disney Plus as one of the charter attractions, but also the special simulcast tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we're all so stoked to be a part of such a huge launch that is Disney Plus, and then also getting to kind of, you know, get our feet wet with kind of relaunching the High School Musical name. And the great thing is, like, it's cool because we do get to kind of bring back that name, but also in our own original way without, you know, recreating the film in any way. So we do pay the respects to the films and yet get to have our own originality with all new characters and new storylines and drama. So it's going to be a blast, and we are so excited for everyone to see the episode tonight. I mean, we're all getting together and hanging out and watching it. I know we all have groups of friends and family and everyone getting together, so we're so excited for everyone to see it.
We have somebody already in our chat room. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us that call, 646-652-2906, and we thank you for tuning in. Amanda, how long had Disney looked at reviving this great project as a series? Was it before Disney Plus was announced sometime back, or was this something that because of Disney Plus they thought, hey, this would be an easy thing to do?
We have been trying to crack this for a long time. So it's funny you ask that. High School Musical was such an amazing franchise for the company. And so we've been trying for years to see how we want to do this. And a reboot and a remake just wasn't going to work. You know, that was the original cast, Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens, and that was such lightning in a bottle at the time. And so when Tim Federle came in, our fearless creator and showrunner came in and had this take of doing a docu-style, a very meta-style of this group of kids from East High putting on their own production of High School Musical, we were like, that's it. That's what we should do. It was kind of a new, fresh take on this. So that's when we decided to go for it. And Disney Plus came in, and Disney Plus obviously is a massive, massive undertaking for the company. And to launch this show on that platform is so incredibly exciting for all of us at Disney Channel and for the company.
Matt, how did you get the role of EJ, one of the 10 students who make up the main cast of this?
Yeah, so originally I actually auditioned for the role of Ricky, who is played by Joshua Bassett. And I went in for the audition for that and I didn't hear back for like 2 months. So it almost was kind of lost in my memory until I got a call from my agent that I was being brought in for a different character. For EJ, and it was such an exciting moment for me because, you know, I was a fan of the original movies, and I had gotten to read the first episode script, like the pilot episode script for this show, and it was just one of those moments where it was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be good. And it ended up being kind of a very long audition process. I think I went a total of like 8 or 9 times, something like that, over the course of a couple months. And then, lo and behold, finally got the call that I was so long waiting for, that I had booked the role and get the chance to be a part of this amazing show with these amazing people.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, how fast did the project get through? I know that two of the executive producers of the original films are back in it. There are some other people that were involved either in the original movie or the sequel, the second sequel, that are also back too, plus the cast. How did it all come together?
Well, our development team started this process about, I would say, probably a year ago. And Bill and Barry were brought on to oversee our original executive producers of the films. And Tim came in and pitched his take, and then it was in development for a couple months, and they brought in the cast. And the casting was a really interesting process because obviously it's a very large cast, and finding triple threats, they're all triple threats, and it was incredible how much their chemistry came together in that process. And then last February, we all went to Salt Lake City, Utah, and started to film the pilot. I don't know if Matt remembers, but it was snowing like crazy.
Yep.
And we had to be, it was supposed to be September. The pilot takes place in the first day of school, and it was just full snow. We had to CG out the snow on the mountains in the background, and the kids were just shivering out there in the cold, but they were dancing and singing their hearts out. And we shot for about 6 months in Salt Lake, and we knew once we saw that pilot that we had something really, really special. It just felt so new and different. And so Tim coming on board with his musical background, with his Broadway background, it was a perfect fit for this show and for him to lead the team.
By the way, Bill and Barry referred to the original executive producers of HSN, Bill Borden and Barry Rosenbush, and they both were involved also in executive producing this opening episode. We're talking about High School Musical, the series. First episode tonight, a special primetime kickoff screening on ABC, Freeform, and the Disney Channel. And then next Tuesday, it comes on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place through Disney Plus. We have one of the co-stars with us, Matt Cornett. We have Amanda DiPiazza, the Disney Channel Director of Original Series, who worked on this particular program. And they're both with us live from New York and L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, 37 degrees, the coldest day so far this fall season. We're live. You're warming up with us. If you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Televised, we'll meet a former executive of MTV. He's got his own production company now called Bungalow Media, and they are doing the new miniseries, the unscripted miniseries, coming to AMC and Sundance Now next week. It's called The Preppy Murder, and yet it deals with one of the most notorious murder cases in recent memory, the Central Park case involving the murder of Jennifer Levin and the conviction of Robert Chambers. And we will have Bob Freeman on. That's coming up as our lead guest Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amanda, I understand that you used the original, High School, the High School Musical was filmed in?
Yes. Yeah, we shot at the original East High. So the original High School Musical movies were shot in Salt Lake City, Utah, an actual high school called East High. And apparently it's like one of the top tourist attractions in Utah, like one of the top three tourist attractions. It is just massively huge. Every day we shot at that high school, I would say, Matt, I mean, you can tell it, we had about 20 to 30 visitors a day.
Mm-hmm.
When they have maps of the high school, and they would go to like Troy's locker and like, you know, the iconic Sharpay's pink locker. It is such an institution and an iconic location in Utah. So we shot there, and with the meta style of the series, the kids in the series actually go to East High. So I think to shoot in the actual high school felt apropos. And the kids at the high school, I think, really enjoyed having us there too.
And as you said, this is a scripted series that has an unscripted feel to it. You wanted like a documentary. Explain that a little more.
Yeah, I think having that, our audience now has that, they've seen The Office, you know, they've seen, they're fans of those types of shows, and so they totally get that docu-style, and I think that's what really makes this feel fresh and new, and kind of hearing what they have to say behind the scenes, and shooting in that docu-style is new for us, and it really seemed to work. It just makes it lends itself to a really authentic feel, which is what we were going for on the show.
So with that style, Matt, how did that shape your character?
Yeah, I the cool thing with that docu-style and playing, you know, a character in a show like that is you have to obviously, you know, in every bit of acting, you want to kind of show what your character is going through, whether that be, you know, verbally or just emotionally in the way the character's acting or whatever. The cool thing with doing a docu-style show is because we do have what we call talking heads, which is where, you know, your characters, it's almost like your character's been pulled aside for a little side interview. And the cool thing is in most of those, in all of them, you see exactly where that character is in, you know, in their world, like emotionally and about everything, because it's basically a way for the audience to hear from the character, hear where they're at, you know, mentally, emotionally, without anybody else character-wise in the show knowing. So it's almost like a direct kind of secret and communication between the character and the audience.
Did you get, Matt, any guidance, not just about how you play your character, or everybody in the cast playing their characters, but also about not getting worried about comparing what you do with what was done by Zach, by Vanessa, by Monique, everybody in the original cast of the movies?
Yeah, of course. I think that's one thing that we were all very leery about is, you know, we didn't want to make this feel in any way, shape, or form like we were remaking it or recreating it in any way, because they were so magical that, you know, we would never want to recreate that. But we do, we do pay our respects to it, and we do have little, you know, hints here or there about, I mean, there's going to be plenty of things that, you know, fans of the original fans of the movies are going to watch our show and be like, oh my gosh, there's the cafeteria. Oh my gosh, here's this prop that was in the movies. Here's this thing that was in the movies. Like, you're going to see a lot that's going to kind of take you back and bring back a lot of nostalgia. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is we definitely just never wanted to recreate it. And, you know, we have a lot of originality with all new characters. And yes, we do, you know, reinterpretations of original songs, but yet we also have our own original music that is so good that I will sit and jam to in the car all day, every day. And so it's just kind of cool to get to be a part of a show that is its own original idea, but also getting to kind of, you know, throw respects to the original movies.
Amanda, the director of the episodes on tonight and the first episode on Disney Plus is Tamara Davis. I know her work because she got her big start in the VH1 series called Single Ladies that Queen Latifah produced. Queen Latifah produced her own production company. What was it like working with her, and was this a new challenge for her doing a scripted show in an unscripted docu-style fashion?
Tamara Davis is fabulous, and she is very special. She killed it on this pilot. She was with us for the first few episodes. Her music video background really helped us as well. She didn't seem to have any challenges. She connected with the cast right away. Matt, I'm sure you can agree with that.
Yes.
She was a fabulous creative addition, and no, we absolutely loved having Tamara. She did a fantastic job.
Now, one of the things, Amanda, that I'm sure some people are going to expect either tonight if they watch or Tuesday if they get Disney Plus is how are the musical numbers going to be treated? Because people remember those musical numbers, especially from the first episode. I mentioned that two of the songs, Get in the Game and Breaking Free, were nominated for Emmy Awards. And then a lot of people remember the finale. We're all in this together. I was watching that that sequence the last few days, and it still is a marvelous piece of work, both the way it was directed and also the way it was choreographed by Kenny Ortega and her and his bunnies, who also won the Emmy for choreography.
We have, first of all, we brought on a fabulous choreographer, Zach Woodley, who worked on projects such as Glee, to come in and kind of do these reimagining of these numbers. We absolutely love the original music, and we had to do those numbers justice. The way they're used on the series are in completely unique ways, because this is about a cast of kids putting on High School Musical. We were able to, you'll see it in all different kinds of forms. You'll see it as them rehearsing for the show. You'll see performances of them doing those numbers once they put on the performance. You see it in all different kinds of interpretations, and those songs have such emotional meaning in certain ways. You're going to be surprised by the way we use the original music. And I'm hoping we did it justice. I think we did. We are very, very excited about the new music that we're working on and very excited about the choreography for those numbers as well. And hopefully it still brings that kind of magic. But you can't take away what Kenny Ortega did was brilliant. And those movies and the choreography, everything is, we try to do it justice. And I think we did. I think we did.
Matt, what was it like learning the songs, learning the choreography, and rather than have it be part of just one movie, you know, you're doing it like episode after episode?
Yeah, of course. Honestly, it was kind of surreal to be like doing a new dance to the original songs, because it was like, whoa, I remember watching this in the movies. But like Amanda said, I mean, we had amazing choreographer in Zach Woodley and Alan Salazar, and they were insane. And the fact that we do get to do them in such a different way, and yet such a real way, where I mean, all around our show has a very, very real grounded feel. Like, we want people to feel like they're watching real high school students and a real theater, you know, group of kids. So it's cool to get to do these numbers in a new way that is kind of in the sense of, we're not just running around singing and dancing, like, you know, we're either rehearsing or, you know, whether we're putting on the play or whatever. And it just kind of makes it feel totally different, but yet still so much fun that we do get to kind of recreate it. And obviously, you know, with everything that is going to be in relation to the original films, you know, we absolutely have to do it right, because if you don't do it right, then you know there's a lot of OG fans out there that you will hear from, and so we want to make sure we respect the films and respect the fans and give them everything that they hope for.
And I think what's worth noting too is what makes us a little different is actually in a lot of cases our cast sang live on stage, which is different than anything we've ever done on any of the High School Musical franchise, but on the channel, which really spoke to the natural talent and being able to bring that organic performance energy, which was very exciting for us.
Yeah. Matt, what was it like for you, not only you and the rest of the cast, to blend into the whole spirit of High School Musical in a sort of a documentary style, but also to blend in the high school and also to blend in with the high school students?
Right, yeah. I mean, I feel like kind of the fact that we were all such big fans of the films immediately brought us into the High School Musical spirit. And so that kind of gave us the drive to you know, in a character sense, love to want to put this musical on in the show. And then just in every other way, shape, or form, just the fact that we're getting to you know, kind of bring this whole new version to the world. And, you know, we all had an instant bond with, you know, the first week we were there, we were put in a conference room and basically told, you know, bond for a week and just kind of become, you know, great friends. And, you know, we have to show on screen, you know, that we've been going to school together for 4+ years. So we have to have that bond, and it was just an immediate connection. We're all such close friends. I consider everyone family. And, you know, that's what's great is we definitely want the show to feel very real and grounded and real high school kids. And I think the writing alone does that. Like, Tim and the writing team are so insanely good at what they do that, you know, it's almost like – there's no work involved, because just in the way that they do things and things are written, it's almost just the work's done for you by them.
Incidentally, Tim Federle, the Ferdinand producer writer who is putting together High School Musical, was going to be with us today. He's not, because guess what? The show's already gotten a second season, so he's already back with the writer's room. So I hope we can have him on down the road, because I've heard a lot about him. He's really, a terrific talent. Amanda, you've been involved in the last couple of years in your Disney Channel role with some of the more unique Disney Channel series. One of my favorites is Bizarre Bark. Those two girls are marvelous, and I thought that was a sensational show and a really showcased in a way sort of the use of the web in terms of making unique videos. Love that show a lot.
Thank you.
What was it? How do you take your experience with the kind of shows you've done lately, like Bizarre Bark, and translate that into a show like High School Musical?
You know, it's been interesting and awesome at the same time. Obviously, I worked on a ton of multicam sitcoms on the channel, including Jesse and Ant Farm and Bizarre Bark, and translating that into this single cam space was a wonderful challenge, and it was so this was the perfect experience. I think a lot of us are theater kids at heart, especially at Disney Channel. And so translating that into this show and a property that I love so much and one that the company is behind 100% was a wonderful opportunity. I think the musical background helped, but I also think I've been here 10 plus years and getting to work with people all across the company on this, and it was just all hands on deck, and so that's honestly what made this experience so special.
And Amanda, before we go, and by the way, thank you, you're welcome about the Bizarre Bark thoughts. So I just want to say you're welcome. Absolutely. What is the mood like going into the launch of Disney Plus on Tuesday? Is getting buzz all over the place. The Little Mermaid Live special, which was, by the way, we had Katie Mull, the executive producer, that special on last week. And it did very, very well. I mean, you hear everything about Disney Plus all over the place, the special simulcast tonight and so forth. What's your sense with everybody there about the kind of impact that Disney Plus is going to have on people?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think the cool thing about Disney Plus is the fact that it is literally bringing out the Disney vault. So everything that Disney has, like, basically has made, like, is going to be brought back out. And I'm so excited for it. And I think everybody else is too, whether it be, you know, old series and old shows and old, you know, all the DCOMs and, you know, then you have Star Wars and Marvel and everything like that. I know, I mean, I'm not really super proud to admit this, but I haven't seen all of the Star Wars movies, so I am stoked to get to actually watch them all from start to finish. So, yeah, I mean, I think just the fact alone that this network is – or this streaming platform is bringing on all of the original, you know, Disney Vault things is kind of a way to speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. High School Musical. The musical, the series, will weave on the key original attractions coming up on the launch of Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets from Samsung, LG, other places, as well as Amazon Fire TV operating system sets and Amazon Fire TV devices, as well as Google Chromecast and other smart TV sets and devices around. For more details about the service and you want to sign up for it, here's where you go online, www.disneyplus.com. That's www.disneyplus.com. And tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC, on Freeform and Disney Channel, the opening episode, kicking off primetime of High School Musical, the musical, the series known as The Audition. So check your local listings where ABC is on your area, is in your area. Also, where Disney Channel and Freeform the area on cable and satellite. For more details online, abc.com, disneychannel.com, and freeform.com. Once again, High School Musical, the musical, the series, tonight, sneak preview, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC, Freeform, and Disney Channel, and then next Tuesday as part of the opening lineup of Disney+. Matt Cornett, Amanda Piazza, thank you both very much for coming on. It's been a great pleasure having you aboard. Thanks for making the time. Congratulations on the second season already in the bag, and all the very best with tonight and with the launch on Tuesday.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Amanda. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you.
Back to Amanda and Amanda Piazza, joining us live from New York and Los Angeles, respectively. Coming up, more tomorrow we tell lives, but first, we have some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a very unusual tale of women who are out to have a more desired life, well, check out this audiobook by Lisa Tadeo. It's called Three Women, and it can be yours with a trial run to Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including wherever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, plus two more from Audible Originals. That's the growing catalog of unique original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from around the country, and one-woman, one-man shows. And you can run a trial of the service with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up our next half hour, if you think drug cartels just do drug business in Mexico, you'll be very surprised if you tune in to Nat Geographic tomorrow night for a very unique special called Sea of Shadows. We will have the director, Richard Lacani, join us from wherever. We'll find out where he is because we didn't have the sound check, but he'll be with us. Plus our classic trivia question of the week. All that is brought to the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com/televised and speaker.com. BTR and Speaker together reach 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, coming tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific on BTR and Speaker, it's The Missy Show, a very interesting episode dealing with pet adoption. That's tonight, The Missy Show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Don't forget, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon FM with you live from New York, 37 degrees. Very cool day. A little bit windy here in the tri-state area. We're supposed to hit around 40 tomorrow and between the mid-50s and 60 degrees on Sunday. Happy to have you with us. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question of the week. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. The whole issue of drug dealers in Mexico with the cartels came to light again early this week with the discovery of the remains of a family that had been killed by one of those cartels. But if you think that it's all about drug dealing, you may be very surprised if you see a very interesting special coming up tomorrow night on National Geographic. It's called Sea of Shadows. The director is also the award-winning director of an interesting documentary that was one of Netflix's first back in 4 years ago. It's called The Ivory Game, and we have it right now. Joining us live, Richard Lacani. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Great to be on the show.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. And where are you calling from today?
I'm actually in New York, believe it or not. You may hear the sirens in the background, so I'm here for Doc NYC.
Well, we're very happy to have you. Great festival, by the way, going on here in New York with the best of documentaries by both veterans and by newcomers. It's great to have you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Richard, I think a lot of people, like I said, who believe that drug cartels in Mexico just do drug dealing are going to be very surprised when they see what you've come up with tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally crazy. You know, here we have, you know, drug cartels who are actually attacking an ocean by looking for the cocaine of the sea. And they are destroying this ocean by doing so because they drop in thousands of nets that kill everything that moves, including that one fish that they seek that they can sell for, you know, $100,000 to China. And nobody's aware that's happening, and that's only like 2 hours' drive south of the border. So, yeah, it's in your backyard.
How did you find out about this? How did this come to light for you?
Well, you know, I as you mentioned before, I finished this film called The Ivory Game about the extinction of elephants, and we were looking for a new topic after that because it was very successful, and our executive producer, Leonardo DiCaprio, was already deeply engaged in this whole story of, you know, what's happening in Mexico, and there's this little whale that is kind of the biggest victim of them all. There's less than 15 of them left. It's called Vaquita. It only exists in Mexico. And it's going extinct, and he was deeply worried about that. And he called and said, you know, maybe a good film will help raise awareness for this issue and just put it into the spotlight. And he was willing to, like, open doors. He had met with the Mexican president so he could, like, you know, embed us with government and Navy and the scientists who were trying to save the species as well. You know, he was part of that operation and organizing it. So he was very involved in the beginning. It was his idea, and that was exactly like 2 years ago that he opened that, you know, process.
Mm-hmm. This idea of drug cartels searching in the waters of Mexico for cocaine and in the process threatening wildlife, particularly endangered species like a particular form of whale, is this something fairly new in terms of a process for these organizations, or is this something they've been doing for years?
Well, look, I mean, cartels and syndicates and the mafia, you know, they have been feeding on precious animals for years, but we are just not aware of it because it's happening kind of in the shadows. I mean, you probably heard about the rhino horn, you know, that they're going for that. They're also going for the elephants, but they're also going for animals that are lesser known, like the pangolin, for example. And, you know, the vaquita, this little whale that is getting killed, is actually just bycatch. They are going for another fish called totoaba that, you know, has this swim bladder that is worth so much to the Chinese people that they're willing to kill anything in the ocean just to get it. And what's really sad is that the whole world doesn't understand that the wildlife trade market is the fourth biggest black market trade in the world. It's worth $90 billion a year, and it's entirely run by criminal gangs and syndicates. And these are having a feast because, you know, it's much easier smuggling that than smuggling cocaine. You know, you get killed for smuggling cocaine, but in this case, people think it's a petty crime. It's just an environmental crime. But these animals are disappearing in front of our eyes. And, you know, we all talk about climate change the whole time, which, you know, is a big deal. They say in 11 years, what were the scientists that just came out, until catastrophic decline of, like, you know, our lives will change and everything. Many of these animals are never even going to get there. They'll be extinct because of criminal gangs hunting them down to be sold for millions of dollars across, you know, in Asia. And they'll just disappear in the next year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. The vaquita, for example, it has less than 12 months left. So this is really urgent, and that's why we made the movie, and we hope to, you know, have a big bang with it.
We have a person that just entered our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or a comment for Richard, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. And there's another twist to this situation, because it's not just Mexican drug dealers, it's Chinese traffickers. Now, how are they involved? Are these Chinese human traffickers? Are they drug traffickers? Do they work independently of each other, or do they connect to do what they're doing?
Yeah, well, it's all connected, and we found this out as we were going along, you know, making this film. You know, we went there, and we thought it's going to be a film about saving a species, saving the smallest whale on earth, the vaquita. Then we realized that this is all controlled by the drug gangs and that it's the Sinaloa cartel who's running the show, and they're killing everything, and they work with the fishermen who are all, like, poaching out in the sea and killing for profit. But then we had this amazing organization called Earthling International that we followed, and they had this investigation to follow, you know, follow the trade and find out who's actually behind everything, who's paying the big dollars. And then we found out that it's actually the Chinese mafia based in Tijuana that is running everything. So they hired the drug cartel to then, you know, work with the poachers and the fishermen at sea, but it all leads back to the Chinese mafia. These are businessmen. You know, they're involved in human trafficking, in money laundering business, and, you know, they do all kinds of, like, illicit trades. Not so much in the drug, that's left to the cartels, but basically money laundering and human trafficking. But with this totoaba trade, with this swim bladder trade, they're making millions of dollars. They send all that merchandise back to China, and nobody knows. It's just happening in the shadows, and nobody's aware, and this is happening right now.
We are speaking with director Richard Ladkani. His earlier film for Netflix, The Ivory Game, that was released 4 years ago, was an Oscar nominee, and now he is back with Sea of Shadows. It's a National Geographic special premiering tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. He's with us live from New York. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum also with you from the Big Apple. 37 cool degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Another unscripted presentation comes up next week on AMC and Sundance Now. It's a simulcast, a three-night miniseries called The Preppy Murder, dealing with the famous Central Park murder of Jennifer Levin by Robert Chambers. We'll have the executive producer of the program on Monday's show. He's Bob Freeman, the former MTV executive. He also runs his own unscripted production company now, Bungalow Media and Entertainment. And he is with us live as our lead guest. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here. On Tomorrow Will Be Television. Coming up before the half hour is over, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. So stand by. You might win the Monty Python FAQ book with the correct answer. Richard, once you were able to get permission from the Mexican government to get down there with your crew and track the situation. How much undercover work did you do, and how much guidance or cooperation did the authorities in Mexico give you?
All right. Well, look, we went in as a wildlife film crew, you know, like we went in saying we're doing some nature doc, like nothing to worry about. Even the government wasn't aware what we were really looking for. Like we wanted to understand how this entire network, how the trade works. And yes, it became very dangerous very fast, because as soon as we were, you know, on the front lines and we were there with Sea Shepherd and we got into attacks and, you know, we got very close to the cartel operation, they realized these guys are sniffing around and they're not just, you know, the innocent documentary crew that we thought they were. So that's when things got very tricky for us and we needed to be very careful. We hired extra security. We brought in bodyguards. It was really needed because the threat level, you know, was rising by the week. And it ended up that, you know, we got in the middle of shootouts. There was, like, our drone was shot off the sky, and we got into riots, you know, with hundreds of people kind of throwing rocks at us, and we had to run for our lives, basically. Shots were fired, and then we got even targeted by the drug cartels directly, especially by this big boss called Oscar Parra. And he wanted us, and it was very, you know, it got really tricky. At the end, they put a price on our heads, and we had to leave the area. So it was 8 months, you know, the whole shoot. So we went back and forth over the course of 8 months. But by the end of it, we were all happy to be safe and out of there. So, yeah, it was very tricky. A lot of it was undercover. But then again, once we were exposed, like, that was it. We had to leave.
What was the toughest thing to film? Or the toughest sequence to film and or put on film?
There's a few, you know. There is one very emotional sequence when they actually catch the vaquita, which is, you know, the rarest species on Earth. I mean, it was incredible for us to be able to film one because it has never, ever been caught on film. Like, we are the first film crew in the world that was able to film a vaquita. And you will see it in the film. And being close to vaquita, and, you know, it had trouble. It was very stressed. That was, like, super emotional for me because I realized this is it. You know, like, you are the first human that is filming a vaquita forever, and you're documenting it right now. So don't make any mistake. But also don't get in the way of the scientists because they were the first to ever touch a vaquita, to be close to a vaquita. So it was really intense. Also emotionally and you know, professionally as well, to film that, to capture that. But on the other hand, what was really difficult was when we were attacked. When you're under attack, for example, we were attacked in the middle of the night by a ship, and they were actually trying to sink us by ramming our boat at full speed. We're going at 40 knots, and it was super dangerous. We were with the Marines, with the Navy, but the cartel didn't care. And they started attacking our ship and kind of just slamming into us, and I thought, if we flip over or if our, you know, boat crashes or something, we're all dead. But we kept filming, you know, we tried to capture the moment. We even had a drone in the air at the time. So those encounters are all very extreme and very difficult, and we're glad we made it out alive.
Were you just targeted by the drug cartels, or were you also targeted by the Chinese traffickers?
No, the Chinese traffickers, they were unaware because we were working undercover with investigators that are part of Earth League International, and they're like Asians, and they went in there and they were wearing body cameras, like hidden cameras. So we were just in the background kind of making sure that they are all right, and if anything happens, we were there to call help or to kind of support them. But the danger came directly from the drug cartel. Like, just being on the front lines, out there on the beaches, on the ships, you know, trying to uncover who's behind it and getting evidence, that was the tricky part. And they started targeting us, and that's when it became very serious.
Another person just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or comment for Richard, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. How are not just the Mexican government, but how are world organizations that deal with environmental issues, are they aware of this situation? Are they taking any action whatsoever?
You know, I think all the big organizations are aware of it, and they have been talking about this for a long time. But the problem is that they're not getting the attention of the people. The people just think it's, you know, it happens in the shadows. It's very hard to, like, emotionalize about, like, for that thing, for those, you know, poor animals, because it's very hard to get good footage and to kind of present it to the people. And that's why I think films like Sea of Shadows are so important, but also like the Ivory Game, because they're able to explain a problem in a very, you know, emotional way. Like, you know, we present heroes that are fighting on the front lines, and you kind of get it. You just watch this movie, and it's a 90-minute piece of action and undercover and emotion, and a lot of empathy that you will feel for these people on the front lines, risking their lives. And you know, once it's over, you know, then you understand, and then you are touched, and your heart will be like, oh my God, I had no idea. What can I do? How can I help? Like, I need to raise awareness. I need to do something. And that's exactly where we need people to be. So all these big organizations are struggling because they don't have, you know, a photo will never do it justice, or just a media report. A movie can make all the difference. And that's why we think Sea of Shadows is very important.
You can see that program tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nat Geographic. We're talking about Sea of Shadows, and we have the Oscar-nominated director of that program with us today. That's Richard McConney. He joins me here in New York this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon before Veterans Day weekend. And if you have a question or comment for Richard on remaining minutes with him, don't be shy. Ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, if you missed on recent episodes and want to catch up on episodes you missed like today, where we have the folks from High School Musical, the musical from series in our first half hour, we'll make it so easy for you. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. All of our episodes, after we're done live, they're on that site in a few moments. So it's blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check us out on podcasts at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. When you go to iHeartRadio's website, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. Give us some thoughts about one of the heroes that you discovered dealing with this situation, Richard.
Could you repeat the question? I didn't get the beginning.
Yeah, tell us about one of the heroes that you discovered that you worked with.
Of course.
In making this.
Well,
special.
Look, there is, for example, there is Andrea Crosta. He runs Earth League International, and he has a background in security and investigation. He also has a military background, and he built this organization that is kind of the CIA for the planet. So all the people that work with him are former FBI or CIA or even NSA, but they have decided after many years, even decades in the service, that they need to start fighting for the planet because time's running out. And you know those drug wars, for example, they will go on for the next 100 years or 200 years, but these animals that are being used to make money, they're disappearing right now. And these people have decided to use their skills to fight for these animals because they don't have a voice and they only have a year left or 2 years left or 3 years left. So, you know, they have dedicated their lives to them. And I think that is very heroic. Andrea is usually on the front lines. He runs the teams and he's based in Los Angeles, and he's also become a great friend. You can also see his work in the Ivory Game, where he was like hunting down the Chinese mafia in based in Beijing, who was responsible for killing the elephants all the way across in Africa. So that's what he does. And another amazing organization is Sea Shepherd, and we have this real hero. He's a 22-year-old drone pilot on top of that ship. You know, he has a mohawk. He just looks amazing. And he's out there risking his life on the front lines. He's there right now. He just texted me like yesterday that they have 60 ships right now, cartel-operated ships, in the refuge, and they are poaching, and they're up against them right now. They have 3 ships, and, you know, they're trying to pull out their nets before they can do all the damage. They track them down. They send in drones for evidence, and they use night vision goggles, and they have water cannons to defend themselves. Like, Jack is amazing. I mean, he's an activist. And he's also a philosopher. Like, when he opens his mouth and starts talking, you just want to listen. Because, you know, He's been moved and driven to action because of what's going on with the planet. And I think that's really great because, you know, we see a lot of young people now who are up in arms against, you know, what we have done with the planet in the last decades. And, I mean, look at the Fridays for Future campaigns and everything. Like, there are all these young people rising up and raising their voice and speaking out of, like, we have to stop. Something has to happen now or it's all over. And he represents these young people. So he's another one of my heroes.
Richard, prior to tomorrow night's premiere on National Geographic, this film has been seen at several festivals, including Sundance. Any progress reports or updates about what is going on? Has progress been made to the benefit of the creatures?
Sure. Well, actually, we have had a tremendous impact since the film launched at Sundance. What was great is that we won the Audience Award, so that really got us like above, you know, the crowd and got us a lot of attention, and we were covered in the media. So we immediately also launched a big impact campaign. So National Geographic, they picked up the film, and we talked, and we said, look, we need to do more than just have a film out there. We need to start raising awareness and have whole, you know, social media posts, and we need to do political screenings. And they were super supportive. So we hired an impact producer, Rue Mahoney, amazing, and we went out there. And look, we got four screenings at the United Nations. We screened in New York, we screened twice in Geneva, once in Vienna, and those. We also had a screening at the State Department for the State Department in Washington, D.C. We screened at the Mexican Senate. So we got a lot of attention, and what was great is that only maybe a month ago or so, the president of Mexico for the first time visited the region and started talking about saving the vaquita. This new president, who's been in power only for 8 months now, he never even mentioned the topic. He never mentioned the crisis. He completely ignored it. The film came out in September, and here he is visiting the region, talking about like more has to be done. And he actually committed 600 troops, additional troops, to go to he sent them into the area just now. He dedicated 14 warships to the, you know, to save the vaquita, to help control the cartels. They are also now in the area. So, you know, there's a lot of momentum going on right now. And what I also think is very important is that the United Nations, at the after the last screening we had in Geneva, actually threatened a major trade embargo against Mexico. And they would ban all exports of all wildlife species out of Mexico if they were unable to sufficiently protect the vaquita or if it would go extinct. And that is a big threat worth billions of dollars, and that really scared the government. So they have now jumped into action. They're targeting also the Chinese mafia. They're on it, but we can only see and hope that that will be enough because there's less than 15 vaquitas right now. And, you know, the great thing is that they just saw six vaquitas on October 7th in the Sea of Cortez, and two of them were babies. So they're still around. They're still there. They're even reproducing. But we need all the attention of the world, and we need the government of Mexico to do their job, and maybe we can turn things around and they can be saved. And it would really be important for all the world to watch what is going on and to support us also on social media and to look at this issue. Because if we can't save even that animal that is living in this tiny 20 by 20 miles little space in the Sea of Cortez, then what in the world can we save? That is the big thing, you know, that is the big question. So, yeah.
The program is Sea of Shadows. It's a special on National Geographic, and the premiere is tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where Nat Geo is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the special, and maybe some ways also that you can be personally involved in terms of getting more information about the situation, here's where you go online, www.nationalgeographic.com/TV. That's www.nationalgeographic.com/TV. Sea of Shadows, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Richard McConaughey, the director of the program, thank you again for joining us. Let's hope that this is the beginning of a new era for those creatures where they have a chance to live in this world in peace, and maybe we can make a dent with the cartels and the traffickers that are threatening their existence. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you and your crew for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It was great to be on your show. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Richard. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
All the best. Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye now. Richard Lacani, director of Sea of Shadows, joining us live here in New York. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're offering it again, and if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the Monty Python FAQ book by Chris Persani, Brian Cogan, and Jeff Massey. Here's the question. Name the 1950s television series, a Western starring Don Durant. Name the 1950s Western TV series starring Don Durant. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win Monty Python FAQ, all that's left to know about spam, grails, spam, nudging, bruises, and spam. That's Monty Python FAQ, a book you can win if you're the first with the correct answer for our classic trivia question. Once again, the question, name the 1950s Western TV series starring Don Durant. And if you missed the question a moment ago, you just tuned in, don't worry, I'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, if you don't get in, you don't win. So make the effort and all the very best. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for being here for a terrific hour and thank all of you for listening in. We are back on Monday, Veterans Day, at our regular time. And joining us will be the former MTV executive, Bob Freeman. He now runs his own unscripted production company, Bungalow Media Entertainment, and they are doing The Preppy Murder. It's a three-night miniseries next week on AMC and Sundance Now in a special miniseries simulcast. And he'll be with us as our lead guest. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we're always available 24/7 on podcasts, including this weekend. So catch up on recent episodes and check out this one if you like, again, at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. At iHeartRadio.com. It's www.iHeartRadio.com. Love to hear from you. What do you think about what you heard today? What's your thoughts on Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus and HBO Max and Peacock and this whole new era of interactive mega programming services? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you about what's happening current and future in television because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio Speaker and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televise the report today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, AudibleTrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Veterans Day weekend. We are back on Veterans Day 2019. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe, make it great, and please, if you know veterans near you, please acknowledge them for the great service they've done for our nation and our world. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.